Blog Talk Radio.
Are you a reader looking for a good book? Or are you an author who has written a book? Good Books Online is the show that brings readers and authors together.
You know, right now, we're in the middle of a very interesting, for want of a better word, presidential election. If that isn't scary enough, Jay has come up with the premise of what could happen if all things really go the wrong way after the election. Why don't you give them a little bit of the backstory in your book, just kind of give them a little sneak peek.
All right. Basically, the story opens on the night of the election this year, the 9th, I think, of November. And it's a college professor, Jacksonville Beach, Florida, and one of his students, I guess his favorite student, his pet. But the opening of the book takes place. It's in the living room of his home, and they're watching the election returns, and they're arguing over what channel they're going to watch it on because everything's biased, and they have their biases as well. And then it takes off from there, and the next thing you know, there's a cut into the election, and there's a nuclear detonation in New York City. And then the story takes off from there. It's maybe 2 pages into the story, so it starts pretty quick.
Yeah, it is definitely a quick start. I read the book. It's very interesting. And more importantly, it's quite believable. You know, we talk about, both you and I, Jay, we lived through the Cold War. And back then, the general, the president, everybody knew it was just not a matter of if, but when somebody's going to nuke somebody else, you know. In fact, the Cuban Missile Crisis was probably as close as we ever got, as far as we know. But, I don't know if you realize it, but there were a number of accidents that weren't reported. A couple of times, we or the Russians had wrong information, and we're like, this close to pushing that button. But by the, grace of God, it didn't get pushed. But the thing I think that kept them basically a balance was the fact that they were really scared, not only of the fact that, once the missiles started flying, there was no way to pull them back. Both we and the Russians got thousands of warheads. But the fact that afterwards, it really wasn't going to matter because the scientists on both sides were telling about things like nuclear winter that would happen. It would be very scary. Now, of course, that was a full-on nuclear exchange.
Right.
All right. Weir book really is talking more or less nuclear terrorism.
Right. It's pretty broad scale in the book.
Right.
It's fiction, folks. Okay, it's fiction. I think I have something like a couple hundred detonations globally, and they're like terrorist cells all over
the
world.
But that's later.
And that's how I kind of envision if or when, whatever your outlook is, it occurs, it will probably be something like the dirty bomb somewhere. Mm-hmm. There's been a few movies over the years about a dirty bomb in London, or I think one in L.A., just movies.
Sure.
But that's how I envision such a catastrophic event possibly kicking off. And it doesn't mean it's going that way, but the book kind of takes it in the direction where it does go that way.
Right. And it's not just a matter of, the bomb going off and destroying New York, but all hell breaks loose because basically the country just starts coming apart at the seams at that point.
Quickly. And it doesn't start to come apart. This part, I think, is quite realistic.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have the bomb going off and then all of a sudden the whole country explodes into chaos and flames and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's quick, but it also takes place over, I think the entire book takes place over 6 days, but the oncoming catastrophe starts almost so subtly after the detonation, because that's up in New York. People, we're still getting satellite feeds, we're watching it on CNN or whatever, and it's spooky stuff, and just like we see the San Bernardino incident, mm-hmm. the Orlando just up the road from us.
Right. Not to mention 9/11.
Not to mention 9/11. We're watching these things sometimes in real time now, and that's what happens in the book. When the detonation occurs, people are starting to watch this in real time. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's all broken up. There's stuff starts getting on the internet right away, blogs and the cameras, and rumors start to fly immediately, and all that stuff's sort of incorporated into the novel, some places subtly, some places more forcefully.
Right, and you know, when you look at it with historical context, I mean, let's take a look at things like, remember when Katrina hit? I remember watching the, you know, the news feeds, and of course, as soon as they got to the part where they were trying to take some of the people that were stuck there, put them in the Superdome.
Right.
I mean, you think, okay, well, we're safe now, but not really, because what happened was, obviously, there was a lack of food, a lack of water, a lack of sanitation, and then, you know, people's nerves start to get frayed, fights start to break out, crimes start to happen, and a lot of people literally walked out of there because they were afraid for their life being there. So what's crazy thing is that you look at, like, your book, and you start seeing the cracks form, and then society just starts to disintegrate, and people would say, well, that can't happen, but it's happened before.
Well, it happens to countries. I mean, all through history.
Sure, but I mean, it's happened in this country, too.
It has. Yeah, I remember the whole Katrina episode as well. In fact, I just moved to Daytona Beach from Tennessee, and watching this unfold, and I have relatives in just south of New Orleans, and I was getting some real-time telephone
calls
about all this as the hurricane made landfall. I have a sister who lives in Houma, just south of New Orleans, but such events, again, we like to think we're protected. We have infrastructure here. We're always talking about our infrastructure in our country as compared to many places on the globe. The novel kind of shows what happens. Infrastructure can fall apart, and sometimes it can fall apart quickly.
Correct. And you know, you saw after the aftermath of Katrina, I mean, it looked like a bomb hit the place. And FEMA was even criticized because they weren't fast enough in their response. A lot of people criticized them. And again, that was not an isolated incident. Because one of the incidents that we were talking about in your blog was the blackout in 1977 that occurred in July in New York City. And this was only something that took like 24 hours. I mean, 13th, the lights went out. They were off for about 13 hours. But by the time the lights came back on, not only was the rioting and looting, but there were like several city blocks on fire that had happened during the blackout.
Quick time, so to speak.
Right. And people would thought that would never happen because they actually had the Great Northeast Blackout in 1965 in on hold and break loose, and that was like multi-state in Canada.
That's right. And
but sometimes the elements are just right. It's fire that caused civil unrest.
In the novel, bring it around to such, again, the speed of events. Again, we're in this instantaneous communication network right now. And in the book, I mean, like I said, real time, we're getting satellite feeds.
Sure.
People are texting.
Right.
There's an incident in the book when the second day, I believe, after the detonation, they're thinking, well, you know, we live in hurricane country and we have, you know, some water and some food in case we get hit, you know. But, you know, this might be a little more serious than that. And then they go on a little food run.
Right.
Supply run, right? The late-minute prepping, if you will.
Right.
But just the idea that they've got enough knowledge of these things, events occurring, saying, I want everyone to text us once an hour just so we know you're okay, just so we can keep an eye on each other.
Sure.
And that's while the satellite feeds are still up.
Right. Yeah, and of course, they almost get mugged when they go out to get food,
that's
too.
Right.
Because, you know, plus, you know, you look at these, I mean, every time, you know, we're at Hurricane Alley here, you know, because we basically are in Florida. And every time there's even the rumor of a hurricane, you see how fast they clear out those supermarket shelves. So you can imagine if something serious like that happens, and then you have a follow-up attack somewhere else.
Absolutely.
And you get to the point where if you have several of these things going off, how can the government even respond to cleanup?
Well, in the book, is you may recall when I believe it's the third day of the event, after the event,
right.
the detonation in New York City, and I think I put Shepard Smith on the station, and he's got the big backdrop of the world behind him.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you start seeing these reports start coming in globally of detonations.
Right.
And all you're seeing, all these folks are seeing in their living room is these little red glows pop up, like a computer animated graphic on a game. But they know all this is happening. And I think the hardest thing for me as far as the psychological structure of the characters in the book is the simple fact that it happens so fast that if there's anything that I even thought maybe this isn't as realistic as it might be, is the fact that people are trying to adjust to this in real time.
Sure.
And they are.
Right.
Because I think in our imaginations, we think, oh no, something like that happened, people would just curl up in the fetal position and say goodbye or something. But you're living through this catastrophe. And again, some of you may be aware of incidents going on down in Venezuela right now. Not a nuclear detonation, but the kind of a infrastructure issue with their finances down there, and massive inflation, hyperinflation, with people literally rioting for food right now.
Sure.
And it can happen.
Absolutely. And like I said, we saw it after Katrina. I mean, there was a lot of looting that the police basically realized they couldn't do anything about it. Because, you know, when you've got hundreds of looters and, there's, you know, you're on top there, what are you going to do? You know, if you get the crowd too stirred up, you know, you'll end up being part of the aftermath yourself. And what are you going to start doing? Shooting into the crowd, you know?
I'm glad you mentioned what does the cop do.
Yeah.
Obviously, anyone who's been listening to the news for the last year or so knows a lot of what's going on with the political events and the police in the United States. And book two, which is coming out in about a month, there I work in just a small segment about this sphere because all this is going on. And then what happens? What do they do? And of course, you can take it a step up with National Guard units, et cetera.
Right.
And it can all, it's called apocalypse for a reason,
right?
Catastrophic events.
Sure. And it's definitely something that could happen. In fact, most people don't realize this, but you remember when 9/11 happened? You know, they decided to take out the World Trade Center. Well, you realize that right around the bend in the river is a nuclear power plant.
I'm going to level with you. I did not know that.
Absolutely. And had they taken those planes and hit the power plant, it could have been game, set, and match for Manhattan. And I'm not talking about necessarily even hitting the reactors because they have the fuel storage ponds that are even more vulnerable.
And I've read articles about those being targets.
Yeah.
I just did not know about that particular
location.
But it's scary stuff, obviously.
Yeah, well, and that's one of the reasons I think that we're not building more nuclear power plants.
Not in my backyard, as the saying goes.
Yeah.
But it can happen. And I think the whole idea of I'm not going to claim, oh, it's such an original idea. The point is, I think a lot of people have the thoughts that went into that book, and that's, I think, what prompted me to write it.
Sure.
At least my imaginary take on it.
Right. But I mean, you look today. How many doomsday prepper shows are there on TV and online? Right.
And I'm the level with you. I do not watch those shows, so I'm not an expert. I don't know anything about it other than it makes sense. I live in Hurricane Alley.
Sure.
And I have water. And I have usually about a week's worth of food on hand that doesn't have to be cooked.
Right.
Not because I'm worried about the apocalypse, but stuff happens like that. And I grew up in northern Minnesota, and we had blizzards.
Right.
Big time blizzard area. And there were times when we might be snowed in for 3 days.
Right.
You know, not fearful, but.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter how much supplies you try to store. I mean, if we get to the point where society breaks down, we're all in the world hurt. Because, we ship everything in now.
Absolutely.
We don't lose anything anymore.
And the folks in this story, they get a real quick lesson in that.
So anyway, have I freaked out enough? If you want to catch the book, it's called Apocalypse Awakening. It's available on Amazon. And, of course, you can also find it on Good Books Online. Next week, we're going to have an ex-rock and roller with us. We're going to be visiting with Larry Steele, who will tell us about As I Recall, which is a book about him hanging out with a lot of the legendary Southern rock legends that you'll be very familiar with. And until then, keep reading good books, folks. See you next week.